If you have your Bible, you can lift it up. If not, you can just say this. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it is God Almighty in written form. And today, it went in my heart, my mind, my emotions, my body, conforming me to the image of Jesus through Holy Spirit to the glory of Father. Amen. So good to see everyone. Praise God. God is gracious. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share a different take on Palm Sunday, and it's entitled Deeper, Stronger, and Louder. Okay? Let's start out in John 12 and in the account of where we get Palm Sunday from. John chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 12. Praise God. Most of us are familiar with this account. There's a lot here. Let's get to it. John 12, 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to thy name. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a donkey, as it is written, he said, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king coming sitteth on a donkey. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. All right. And the people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, they were bearing him witness. And for this cause, the people also met him, for they heard that all the things he had done. The Pharisees, therefore, said unto themselves, Perceive you how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. Now, it's interesting. There was a lot of true disciples there that did this, that stayed the course. But most of the people, amazingly, that put the palms down on the ground to worship him, just days later, cried out, Crucify him. It's amazing. We're in the last days. I really believe that. And God's calling us to higher. Amen? God's calling us to stronger. In the last days, the Bible says there's going to be a falling away. But there's also going to be a revival. But you're going to see things because the enemy, he is getting stronger, but God is infinitely stronger. But if we're not just seeking God, I tell you, it's a time where I always say this, good may not be good enough in the last days. I tell you, there have been well-known preachers now saying that, you know, they don't believe there's one way to heaven. You know, the virgin birth, so many people deny it now, even his resurrection. So we're saying this for a couple of reasons. One, we're living in a special time. It's a crazy time. I've never seen so much hurt, so much pain, like with the trafficking thing and the fentanyl deal. But we're here for such a time as this. Because light shines brightest in darkness. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 60, I wasn't going to go there, but I think the Lord wants us to real quick. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, the eclipse that's coming, I believe, what, April 8th. I mean, you cannot get a hotel room for under $500 if you live within 50 miles of Erie. Because it's one of the places that, you know, the eclipse is going to be stronger. But I believe it's a type of the last days. Isaiah 60 says, Arise, shine, verse 1. Thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness to people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles, the unsaved, shall come unto thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes and see what God will do. And it goes on to share some things. You know, I hear a lot of prophecies regarding what this eclipse means. And you know, I listen to really good people like Perry Stone. I really like him. But to be honest with you, I get lost sometimes with him. He gets into some of these prophecies, you know what I'm saying? And he's a great guy. But I think it's simple. I think the prophecy is a sign. It says that God will give signs in the heavens in the last days. It's interesting. This eclipse, the way there's different types of eclipse, but it only happens once every 120 years. It's going to, be in a place, but an eclipse is going to be total where the eclipse blocks out the sun, okay? And there's a lot of prophecies. I'm just trying to make it simple. Here's what I get out of it. We're in the last days. The enemy is trying to cancel the sun of righteousness, Malachi 4:2. Jesus is the S-U-N of righteousness. The enemy is trying to cancel what's right, replace it with what they think is right, which is wrong, okay? And so the sun is going to be covered up with darkness. Oh, but I tell you, Isaiah 60 says the sun's going to break through. I really believe in my heart. It's interesting. Once every 120 years this happens. There was 120 in the upper room. 120 represents the power of God. The fire of God came down. I believe God's raising up just like the 120 that turned the world upside down to negate the darkness that would cover up the sun, that would minimize the sun of righteousness, negate the sun of righteousness, to replace it with evil. Amen. Now that to me is a simple take on it, but I believe that with all my heart. Amen. We're in a place where the enemy is trying to negate who Jesus Christ is. In China, they came out with a Bible, a government Bible, makes it look like Jesus sinned. In America, everything that's righteous, the enemy's trying to negate. Jesus is the son of righteousness. I always thought that was S-O-N of righteousness. Of course, he is the son of S-O-N of righteousness. But it says the S-U-N of righteousness, meaning he is the fire of God. He's the light of God. Amen? And I tell you, the devil is doing everything he can to negate the son of righteousness, who he is, what he stands for, what's right and what's wrong. And I believe in my heart that it is a sign that the devil says, hey, I will cover up, I will minimize, I will negate the son. But God's saying, I got 120, which represents those who are on fire with God. And I tell you what, the darkness will pass through the glory, amen, that shines through you and me. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. But in the last days, we have to go deeper, stronger, louder. So let's just look in and see how far we get with this. I believe this will help us in our everyday walk with God. And it will help us just to understand that, man, this is not a game. You know what I'm saying? There's so much going on. I mean, I've never seen so many people just say that they're God. Say that it's about my truth. It's not about your truth or my truth. It's about his truth. Amen? The university and universities across the nation. It's you sign your correspondence. You get in trouble. My truth. Amen? It's not about your truth or my. It's about his truth. Glory to God. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. And he will not be negated. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So we're going to look at going deeper. Go with me to Luke 5:1. And always this by grace. Because, if you hear something, what God wants you to do, and you try to do it without the Holy Spirit reigning in you, I tell you what, you'll just get frustrated. You know what I'm saying? You'll try it, but it's not going to work. It has to be through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through Holy Spirit who infuses the life of Jesus into me. So as you're hearing this, I want to encourage you. When God tells us to do something or not to do something, he provides strength to do it. He's the one that will do it through you. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I had a young man I was counseling. He had been, man, messed up, abused. It was a bad deal. And long story short, he was sexually abused by someone, another guy, and he lost all his desire to, to be normal in that area. And man, we were in the counseling, and he was up and down, didn't seem to be working. And one day he came into my office, and now he's in ministry and has three kids and an awesome wife. But the bottom line is, he come in, he was smiling. And he had been struggling. He wanted to stop counseling. And I mean, counseling was just getting the word into him. He was a young man, about 19. And he come in smiling. I said, "What's up?" He said, "Man, I was having a bad day. The enemy was trying to eat my lunch. And I could just sense oppression coming to me, depression. And he was knocking at my door." And I'll never forget. He said, "I was so tired. I was just hurting so bad. I said, Lord, I can't even get up to answer the door." He said, "Lord, will you answer the door?" And he said, he hasn't been back since. Amen. Because Jesus answered the door. Amen. Sometimes we just need to let Jesus answer the door. Amen. Glory to God. But when you do take authority in Jesus' name, that's what happens. He, glory to God, will oppose the enemy. All right. There's a lot here. We'll see how far we get. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. "It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and asked him if he would thrust out the ship on land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And then Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Sometimes, when you're in a time of trial, a time of challenge, it doesn't make sense when God says, launch out into the deep. Because it seems like what you have should work right now. But I want to encourage you. When you're facing something, go deeper. Just go deeper. Glory to God. Holy Ghost will take you deeper. Get those scriptures, your favorite scriptures, your cornerstone scriptures, and just take them. Don't get bitter, get better. Don't run away from God. Go deeper. Amen? Glory to Jesus. Whether your scriptures, cornerstone scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever scripture that just floats your boat, so to speak, right? I mean, that you stand on. You know, simple. It can be a simple scripture. I mean, two brothers, just great kids, but they're struggling, doing some stupid things with some drugs and stuff. And I was saying, Lord, ever say this about your kids, your grandkids, or ever? How can they do that? How can they be so dumb, right? And Lord said, remember you? Remember you? Talking about me. Now, I didn't know Lord never heard of Jesus, but it was like, man, a good scripture says, Lord, your word says that your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Glory to God. Man, his goodness will follow us. His mercy will follow us. Amen? But we go deeper. We say, God, just help me to go deeper. Man, Peter could have said, man, we fished all night. There's no way that this works this way. But at your word, go deeper with his word. The devil thinks he's got you when your outward appearance isn't working. Man, maybe you messed up. Maybe you're struggling. He doesn't have you. At his word, go deeper. Don't say, man, I don't think the word's working for me. Go deeper and say, if it works for him, if it works for her, it'll work for me. Amen? Go deeper. glory to Jesus. The devil hates it. Man, he thinks he's got you. He thinks you're going to come out of the water that you're in and go ankle deep. But when you go deeper, he's like, man, what's going on here? I thought that when I was bringing that trial, that difficulty, I thought I was going to make them get out of the water. But now they're going deeper. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Ezekiel 47:3, it talks about going ankle deep, but then going knee deep, then going waist deep, and then getting into the water till you start swimming. Amen? Glory to God. Ankle deep Christianity is not going to do it. Waist deep. We need to get in over our heads. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to get in over our heads. We don't want to just enough of Jesus that we say, yeah, I know I'm saved. We want to get in over our heads so the water of God can take you. For everywhere the river goes, there's life. Glory to God. Amen? Man, we were campus minister for many years, and it was like, you know, and dating, how far can we go? Do we have to do this? Do we have to do... Man, bottom line is this. Just get immersed in Jesus and quit asking stupid questions. Amen? Glory to God. When you're in the waters of God, you don't ask questions like that. Amen? Hallelujah. Because the river's taking you. Holy Ghost is in control. You're in the Spirit. Ooh, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Deeper. Man, we need to help each other. Say, man, you're in good waters, but let's go deeper. Let's just go deeper. Let's ask the Holy Ghost. That word you're standing on, that word you know, Lord, just make it as you've never made it before. Shh. Glory to Jesus. All right. Stronger. Joshua 1:9. I mean, it's on my cover of my Bible. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Oh, glory to God. God's given us strength. Amen. In the book of Romans chapter 4, let's read this. I mean, there's so many scriptures on strength. I couldn't get to sleep last night. I was just going over scriptures regarding strength. The Lord is my strength, Psalm 27:1. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Glory to God. Romans 4, man, you talk about a challenge. Abraham was told out of his own body. He's going to have a child with Sarah. He's 99 years old. She's 90. Wow. And it says this. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. Talking about Abraham. Before whom he believed. Even God who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, there was no hope, believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I'm here to tell you today, what God has spoken to you, given you desire for, vision for, he will bring it to pass. Even when it doesn't seem like it can come to pass. Now listen to this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully persuaded, what he had promised, he was able to perform and is reckoned unto him for righteousness. And it was not written for him alone, but for us. So, by the grace of God, he grew stronger in faith. Whoo, glory to God. He grew stronger in faith. Amen? And I know the natural is difficult. Then you're praying for something, healing, it doesn't seem to be coming past. You're praying for a situation to break. It doesn't seem it's going to come into pass. But here's the awesome thing about the gospel. Instead of growing weaker in faith, by the grace of God, we grow stronger in faith because you keep putting more word in you. Hallelujah. You're praying more. You're believing with others more. And now you're going getting stronger. Glory to God. Isn't that good news? Man, that is so good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you're getting stronger in faith. Like in 1 Kings 18:41, We've shared on this in different contexts, but such a powerful principle. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years at the word of Elijah. Now he's trying to get it to rain. And it doesn't. So in 1 Kings 18, 41, hallelujah, Elijah said unto Ahab, the wicked king, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. There was no sound of the abundance of rain. Was he lying? No. He was growing stronger in faith and to the point where he saw in the heavenlies what was going on and it was going to come to the earth. Hallelujah. Man, you see the heart of God through the word. On earth as it is in heaven, you know God's king of heaven, but he's also king of the earth. And now what's in the heavenlies is going to come on the earth. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. That's what the world does. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down on the earth, put his face between his knees. That's the Hebrew birthing position. And then 6 times he says to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And every time he went up, there was nothing. There was nothing. But I'm here to tell you something. Even though in the natural there was nothing, there was breakthrough in the spirit. There was a breaking in the spirit. I said there was a breaking in the spirit. Remember the scripture in Daniel? God told Daniel, man, I heard your prayer the first time you prayed. Man, but there's principalities and powers trying to hold the prayer out. 21 days. But I tell you what, the power of God was breaking through. So this 6 times there's nothing. I'm here to tell you something. When there's nothing, know in your spirit there's something, because if you think there's nothing, you're going to grow weak. But if you know in your spirit there's something, you're going to get stronger. Yeah. And the 7th time he went up, he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. That is small. Man, you have to be looking for it. You have to be in the spirit. They were on top of Carmel. That's a high mountain. A cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, here's what he said. Came to pass at the 7th time. Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. He said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop you not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel about 30 miles. And the hand of God was so strong on Elijah, he girded up his loins and ran, outran the chariot. So after the 6th time, the devil's probably saying, hey, it's not working. But just a little time after, sometimes right before the breakthrough is the most difficult time. The lies of the devil. Well, it didn't work 6 times. What makes you think it's going to work the 7th time? 7, man, is a number that means breakthrough. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. All right, the 3rd one is speak louder with expectation. Man, in 2 Kings, when there's a prophet who is a good guy, Balak, but then a wicked king convinced him to curse Israel. And he said, no, I can't do this. But then he gave in. And he comes back to the king. He says, I can't curse them because there's a shout of a king in the camp. Where there's a shout of a king, curse cannot reign. The Bible says in Revelation 1:6, you are a king and a priest unto God. A king is someone that enforces the covenant. A king is someone that goes out to battle and enforces the covenant of God, that enforces righteousness. A priest is someone that ministers to the heart of Father. You are a king and a priest unto God. You're responsible, amen? Hallelujah, for taking authority. You're responsible, amen, for your own life, for your family. And again, I understand there's phases where there's can be difficulty in our family. But I tell you what, God will reign. As long as there's a shout of a king in the camp, you cannot be cursed, because you have no agreement with the devil when there's a shout of a king in your heart. The principle of agreement is the key. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? God is not looking for our great abilities. God is not looking for this or that. He's looking for agreement. He doesn't need you to do this, this, or this in your own strength. He needs you to agree with him that he is God, that he loves you, that the same God who sent his only begotten son, will he not with him give him all good things? Romans 8:32. Woo, Jesus. And that's where it comes in. Amen, doesn't it? The tire hits the road. Will you agree with God? Will you ride with him? I've shared this before, but it's a true story. And it's like, we were at, how many of you been to Niagara Falls? Anybody? I mean, it's pretty awesome to be so close, right? It's just a good place to be. So you hear of all these stories. I think it's tempting God, but there was a guy that not only walked over the falls on a tightrope, he rode a bike on a tightrope from one side of the falls to the other. Now, to me, it's tempting God, but I'll tell you what. But there was a story that this guy, you know, there's a different people that just thought he was the best. And one guy came up to him and said, I believe, you know, you could ride that bike across the falls backwards. He said, I think you're the most amazing person. And the guy says, you really have that much confidence in me. And the guy said, I do. He said, well, you're just the person I'm looking for, because I just got a two-seater. Amen. It's one thing to praise God. It's one thing I say I love God. It's another thing to ride with him. Amen. Whew, someone says, God's my co-pilot. Man, see your co-pilot, switch seats. Amen. Hallelujah. He's got a two-seater. Get in the back and hold on. Amen. Do not deny the victory. Do not deny. I feel like the Lord said, you're going to get to the other side. You're going to get to the other side. Jesus said in Mark 4, let's go to the other side. There's a man there, demoniac of Gadara. He needed help. Jesus heard his cries. But you know the story. Man, the ship, the storm was so great, seasoned fishermen thought they were going to die. But Jesus got them to the other side. He will get us to the other side. Glory to God. It's so good. We go deeper. We get stronger. We go louder. 6 days they encompassed, right? Jericho. On the seventh day they shouted. And the walls came down. Glory to God. I want to share a scripture with you. And time goes so quick. And then I want to share some testimonies. In the book of Acts chapter 2. That's such a good verse. Verse 24. Acts 2:24. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, causing him to be raised from the dead, because it was not possible that it should be held back. It was not possible. Ooh, glory to God. Because I love the Amplified, classic Amplified. Because the enemy was not strong enough to hold him. I'm going to say it again. The enemy was not strong enough to hold him in the grave. The enemy was not strong enough to hold him. And he's not strong enough to hold you or me. He really isn't. He is not strong enough. Sometimes he thinks he is. It looks like he is. He is not strong enough. He's not strong enough. We need to see that as never before. Jesus. Jesus. Let me share some testimonies that in my own life and some other people. Where again, it would be easy, man, not to go deeper, not to get stronger, not to speak louder. My dad was not saved, and man, I prayed for him, had words of knowledge over him to help him. And I remember one time he was drinking a lot, and he was a great guy. I mean, tough guy. Iron City drinking, steel worker, sergeant in Korea, age 19. Good guy, tough guy. And I had a word of knowledge that, man, he almost died in Korea. And he said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. But he didn't. Shot three different times. But we were at in Ohio at a conference, Kenneth Hagin conference, and we're in Ohio. Man, I got a call on my phone from my cousin saying, your dad's had a severe heart attack. Doesn't look like he's going to live. Man, so I drove down as quick as I could. I got to the house. Heart attack was so bad. I mean, the couch, the chair, they're broken in pieces. One of my really close friends, Tom, he was the medic on the scene from the fire department. He said, I never saw anybody go through that and live. I think they shocked him back twice. But when I saw that, I had a choice. I could either get bitter or better. I could either go into the water of God deeper or start to come out of it and say, you know what? Maybe I didn't hear you. Because he always kept saying he would die early age, but he didn't. God gave me an age that I claimed for him, and he did live to then. Lived to that age by the grace of God. So I'm driving to the hospital. Everything in the natural said he's dead. But I got stronger by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. And right when I got to the entrance of the hospital, walking in, I got louder by the grace of God. There was a shout in my spirit. And I said, what room is he in? And the devil said, you're a fool. He's dead. And they said, he's in this room. And he accepted Jesus. And I tell you what, victory came. Amen. But see how the devil wants you to get, he wants you to go back into the shallow. Because when you're in the deep, you're more vulnerable. Amen. When you're in the shallow, it's easy to get out of the shallow. When you're in the deep, there ain't nowhere to go. But that's where God is. Amen. Stronger and louder. But it's by grace. It wasn't because of, I have some, it was just grace. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. Amen. Second one, Kathy's not here. I'll share this. Sometimes she doesn't like me to share this, but it was a heavy duty deal. So she went to Hong Kong and on a mission trip. They gave out thousands of Bibles. It's right before China took over Hong Kong when the lease ran out, right? And everything went really well. I mean, it was a crazy deal. And so she's supposed to be back a certain day, and I'm with the kids, and I get a call. It was from a hospital in Detroit saying that they had a layover in Detroit, and then she was so sick, they wouldn't let her on the plane back on the plane because they said, it was danger. So goes to the hospital. And she's admitted. And I get a call from a doctor. It's in the afternoon. And this doctor tells me he thinks he has a type of typhoid. It's crazy stuff. And it was going to cost this amount of money, which was back then, like $20,000 to do this or that. We didn't have any insurance. But in my spirit, I knew that, I mean, if God to go the way the doctors, which are fine. God made doctors. But I said, no, we're not doing that. Long story short, I prayed with her, and she could hardly walk. I said, Kath, we need to do this. We just need, I just need you to go down and see if we can contact someone. We thought we knew people there, and God's going to take care, by faith. So she got in the elevator, said, hey, I'm not staying in the hospital. They said, okay. And there was a guy there with his wife. You know how when you go in the hospital, there's like people, usually they're volunteers, tell you like what room someone's in. It's like, you're in Detroit. And there's a couple there that were Christians. And they took her in to their house. Wow. Well, somehow the next day they let her on the plane. But man, when I picked her up at Pittsburgh Airport, I mean, her hands are like this. They're like, it's really weird. And her thumb, you couldn't move them. It was just really a bad deal. So I put her in the back seat. We went home. And that code, my pastor at the time, and he was a missionary to the Philippines, and he said, yeah, I think it's a type of typhoid or some bacteria deal. That's not what I wanted to hear. So long story short, you know, I prayed. We go deeper. You can get angry and say, why this? But by grace, not of my own strength, by grace we went deeper. And she went to bed and strength came. So she wasn't completely well, but 2 days later, she went with some people from our church to Living Word Church. And it seemed like okay, but when they dropped her off, we lived on a main road at that time. She came out of the car and just collapsed right in the middle of the road. Bang. And one of the ladies with her was a nurse. He's like, why did you let her go? And it's like, okay. So we got her to bed again. And by the grace of God, there was a shout in my spirit. By the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. And she woke up and was completely fine. Now, sometimes it takes a little longer, but that was a deal. We have to go deeper by grace. If we will present ourselves, God will come to us. Man, sometimes it is difficult. I've been there like anybody else where it's like, Lord, what's going on? And sometimes I've gone away rather than going deeper. And say, okay, Lord, I just need to clear my head. No, I don't need to clear my head. I just need to go deeper. Amen? Deeper, stronger, louder. Just recently, we got a really good report from a good friend, him and his wife, Heather and David. About 4 years ago, I think Kathy and I, we met Heather at a GLOW meeting in, I think it was Upper St. Clair somewhere. And Kathy became friends with her. Long story short, due to a medical, I'm not going to get into a mistake, he lost his stomach. They let him, they cut him open. They left him there too long. And he took out his stomach. It died. I don't understand all that. So we prayed and prayed. And without a stomach, God just, he gained weight and God helped him. And then things went south just about a year ago. And a lot of pain. And they didn't know what to, nobody would operate on him. Didn't know what to do. And then what happened was, he got this bacteria infection. And it ate a part of his vertebrae. I can't even comprehend it. So Kathy and I, we went down just probably about, I don't know, 4 months ago. There's a prayer thing at Cornerstone TV. We went there in the morning and we're going to his house. And it was the weirdest thing, a lot of spiritual warfare. We've gone from Cornerstone to their house in Gervasburg, which is by McKeesport. But somehow we got lost somehow. And her GPS didn't work. We're going to ride in circles and circles for like an hour and a half. And I'm so tired. And I came so close, you know, to saying, let's just go home and we'll pray on the phone. But God said, keep going. So anyways, his wife came and we followed her in. We ministered a simple prayer. And he was on so much oxycodone. I mean, it's hard to comprehend. He was on, it amounted to like 30 pills oxycodone a day. A day. I mean, in 1 month, it was like 900. But it's the only thing they could do because the pain, you can imagine your vertebrae is being ate away. So after prayer, I called him the next day. I said, how you doing? He said, worse. You know, which happens sometimes. I said, okay. Next day, felt a little bit better. Third day, took off the brace. He had a back brace. And he went to the doctor's the next week. Pain started to be alleviated. And about 3 hours on tests, and the doctor come, because he was facing a very serious surgery. They come back and said, you know what? His vertebrae is completely whole. Glory to God. So we're excited, but his stomach, he has a feeding tube in his stomach, which made it so worse when he had the deal with the vertebrae. So finally they got him, but because of the vertebrae situation, they couldn't get him in to a certain doctor. And nobody would do it except a guy from West Virginia said, I think I can help him. Long story short, today, Sunday, on Monday, they went in and the doctor said, everybody said there's no hope. But this doctor says, and God could use doctors. He said, I have hope. Long story short, I got a call on, Friday morning saying, he's home. Well, we had calls before that. It was supposed to be 10 hours operation. It was like 7. They said they'd never seen anybody recover like this from that type of operation. And the doctor says to her, you have a brand new husband. He's eating. I don't know what they did. Something was, I don't know what he did, the doctor. I mean, he's doing the best he's ever done. Now, I said that to say this. His wife, people agreeing with him. We went deeper. It was hard, man. Why is somebody has a feeding tube struggling and it's not their fault have a bacteria that's eating away their vertebrae? It can cause you to go the other way. He's a good guy, man. Really good guy. But we went deeper by grace. I said, Lord, I don't understand why. But we just went deeper. And we did get stronger by the grace of God. And then we got louder. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to work, guys. It's not a game. It's not something that you get saved and everything. It's just, you know what? Eat as much chocolate you want and don't get any calories. You know, sometimes we present the gospel. Except Jesus, you have eternal life. You never have a trial in your life. We shouldn't do that. Life is going to be awesome because of Jesus, but doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges. But what it does mean is we have victory in those challenges. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we win. But there is challenges. But glory to God. We enter into this, guys. We go deeper. Devil hates it. We grow stronger. We speak louder. Okay? Glory to God. In the last days, or any days, there's so many, you know, if you look back, how many people do you know? You know they love God, but they're not walking with Jesus now. Put up your hand if you know a lot of people like that. I know lots of people like that. Breaks my heart. Why? Because they've never been taught to go deeper. They never got taught. That's why we started this church. They never got taught that the enemy will come. But like a flood, God will raise up a standard. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Man, we're church, we're helping each other out. Fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So what happens when the rains come, which at times will come on a good house and the house that's not good. They're not ready to stand. We go deeper. And when it looks like we're getting weaker, we feel weaker. We need to know we're getting stronger. And breakthrough is at hand. Hallelujah, Jesus. So how does it work for us in our daily life? Man, some days are tougher than others. Some days, bang, you get up and you just sense Jesus. Other days, it's like you get up and where's Jesus? You know what I'm saying? You put on the armor of God. You get in the Word. And man, you just don't sense God. It's okay. You will sense God. But you got to go deeper. When I was discipling a guy, he's a very successful missionary now. He said, man, I'm just claiming, you know, I get in the Word, but right now it just seems tough. He said, I made a decision. Whether I sense God, feel God, I'm going to believe God. And of course it broke. So sometimes days are harder than others. We were talking about Niagara Falls. We were going to on a vacation, and it rained so hard. It was like I felt like turning back. The weather, report. But then we got to a certain place. It was the best vacation we had. Some days are tougher than others, but it's okay. It's okay. You say, God, I'm going deeper. I'm going deeper. I'm going to get stronger, and I'm going to get louder. Amen? It's that way with anything in our life. You want to win souls. Man, I can't tell you how many times where I had the privilege to lead someone to Jesus. And man, it was rocky at the start. I mean, we used to go, we had access to the residence halls. You can go in anytime, just knock on someone's door, share the gospel. And I remember one time, man, just hearing the door shut, every door shut, shut, shut. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm so glad I'm done. We had a coffee house on campus. I said, I'm going to go home and spend time with my wife and kids. I think it was, I started like 1:30, it was 3:30. Usually I went out with somebody, but I was by myself. And then I just got by Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says, no, I know what happened. It was really, really bad. And I started to say, Lord, this was really bad. And I'm not encouraged. But then the thought came to me, why don't I just keep knocking on doors? And I did, as God is my witness. The next door I knocked on, this kid got saved. Wow. We go deeper. We get stronger, even when we feel weak. And we shout louder. Amen. With healing the same way. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen is when I didn't feel anything but bad. But Jesus came. Amen. Man, there's times, usually I get healing, so I sense anointing strong. But sometimes you don't. What do? You go deeper. You get the verses, God, you're God of compassion. You've been waiting for this night. You've been waiting for this service. You've been waiting for Sunday to minister to lives. You mix your faith. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Marriages. Man, I get it. Man, if somebody is beating somebody up, I mean, someone said God hates divorce, and he does. At the same time, he hates it even more when someone's getting obliterated. But in general, in relationships in general, sometimes, man, there's ups and downs. You know what I'm saying? Now, if someone's really weird and they're taking advantage of you and hurting you, it's one thing. But there's phases in relationship. You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget, I don't watch that much TV, like talk shows. But for some reason, I had it on. And there's a guy on, he's a famous movie star. And he's married to this lady, she was like a model. And the talk show host says, well, how come, you know, you're married a year and just took off? He said, I woke up one morning and she looked like a stranger. I'm thinking, join the club. You know what I'm saying? It happens to all of us, you know what I'm saying? Glory to God. Man, my wife looks at me, my hair's not combed, and my, oh, Lord Jesus, she's probably saying, who did I marry? I married this guy or not, you know what I'm saying? Man, he said, she just looked like a stranger. There was no emotion. And ever since then, how can you stay with a stranger? I thought to myself, he didn't go deeper, did he? He didn't stay the course to get stronger. He sure didn't have the shout of a king regarding his marriage. But that's the world. Amen. It's not us. Finances, sometimes there's some ups and downs. We go deeper, believe in God, stronger, louder. Man, I could share some examples. Like for the center. This is a while ago. We need $10,000 to, there's a bunch of things. We had court cases. We're helping people and a lot of kids were helping and staff and stuff, need $10,000. So I go to this conference it's in West Virginia, not too far from WVU of Fairmont. I'm at this conference, and I knew the pastor just a little bit, we're talking. And this guy comes up, they just did a renovation in a church. And the guy comes up, this is God's, you can't make this up. This is the devil trying to get my goat. Does the devil anytime trying to get your goat? Amen? And it's not good when you're a sheep, right? And you get your goat. So I'm talking to, they had like brand new renovations. This guy comes up, puts down $40,000 and says, you know what? I'm displeased with the bathrooms, the urinals and this and that. Give him the check for $40,000. Oh, what's the pastor going to do? And the devil got my goat. He said, you need $10,000 to help kids be in traffic. And this guy's giving $40,000 for urinals. Like it or not. It got my goat. So I'm driving home. I'm not happy. I'm not going deeper, okay? I mean, I tell you, I've never done this yet, but I switched it to 101.5. I'm listening to AC/DC. That's not good when your pastor's listening to AC/DC. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going deeper. And God comes to me. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm listening to AC/DC. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? And then he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sorry. I said, Lord. He said, you know what you could say? You're next in line. If this guy did this, and I don't think it was God, I can do it the real way, right? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I switched it to K-Love or whatever it was. I'm driving home as God is my witness. So I go up to the office. It was at night. And this guy comes in for real. He looks like he was homeless. And he had a bag that, man, like a giant eagle bag. And he says, so I went deeper. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I went deeper. And I sensed strength. And I had a shout in my spirit. I'm still trying to think, man, I need this money bad. And so this guy comes in. He said, I don't even know who he was. He said, thank you for helping my grandson. I think he was on drugs or something. I didn't even remember. But then I said, okay, I remember. He said, hey, the Lord led me to come up. I just want to give you this. It was looked like a garbage. It was a giant eagle bag, but it's very dirty. So he said, I was thinking of throwing it in the trash can. And he said, well, open it up. Okay. And I opened up. There's 110 $100 bills in there. $11,000. I said, sir, I said, with all due respect, I said, you look like you need this more than me. I'm not a taker. I'll receive, but I will not be a taker. And I said, hey, looks like you need this. And he said, here's the deal. He said, my brother, he was very evil. And he left me some land, and there was a shack on the land. When I was going through the his house, we were going to tear it down. This was in the cabinet. And I thought of you. And the Lord said, bring it up. He asked me, he said, do you need $10,000? I said, yeah. I said, who told you? He said, there's $11,000. He said, I know you're a tither, so I put $1,000 in for you to tithe. The true story. But here's the deal, guys. I started to get shallow. But by grace, God didn't condemn me, but he exhorted me. And I turned that station quick. Amen. Some people don't turn it quick. They wait 10 days or 30 days. But I went deeper. And when I got deeper, by grace, I got stronger. I wonder if I would have received that money if I would have stayed shallow. Got bitter rather than better. But God's saying to us, man, this is for the desires of your heart, your family, victory over sin. God's saying this. His ways are not our ways. The world says, I believe it when I see it. We say it because I believe it, I'm going deeper. We say it's not by my own strength, but as I continue, I will get stronger by grace. We say, when the world says, no, there's no reason to worship, there's no reason to have a shout, we say, there's a shout in my spirit, and I will worship my King. This is how we get to the next level. This is how we get from one place to go to another. Amen? God respects you. That might sound strange. He respects you. He esteems you. You wouldn't be in this church if you know you weren't seeking God. He believes in you. He wants to take you to the next level. Desires fulfilled, spirit, soul, and body, family, and turn impossible situations into, like with Abraham, into situations of glory where the glory of God comes. So I really felt like the Lord saying today, there are so many people in the church today, and you're not one of them, you wouldn't be here. Yeah, when it looks like everything's cool, we're going to put palm branches in the road. King of Kings, Hosanna. But when the going gets tough, we may join the crowd and say, hey, he's not who I thought he was, or I just can't crucify, right? That's not who you are. But again, God is awesome. Every opportunity is, thank God for grace, huh? Thank God for mercy. Isn't it a privilege to go deeper? Acts 16, man, in the inner cell. Wow. They could have got bitter. Why us? Beaten. They went deeper through worship. They went deeper. What happened? Bang! Earthquake. Everybody's changed. Not just their change, but everybody around them. You affect more people than you think. So do I. And the miracle was none of the prisoners left. The church at Philippi was started. The church at Philippi was the greatest church in the New Testament. Remember the jailer got saved, him and his house, Acts 16. You know why I think the church at Philippi turned out to be the best church in the New Testament? Because they entered into salvation through someone going deeper. It wasn't accept Jesus, everything will be okay, candy bars. That jailer risked his life when he took them in. Paul and Silas, instead of getting bitter, got better. That church was birthed in people going deeper and then getting stronger to the point, we will not deny Jesus. And there was a shout at the church of Philippi. Paul said, when nobody supported us, when nobody helped us, you guys did. That's the type of church I believe God's restoring. It was birthed. The Bible says, as you receive Christ Jesus, walk therein. See, they received Jesus for Jesus. They received Jesus where the cost was worth the reward. Wow. They went deeper from its inception. The church at Corinth was gifted. It had a lot of problems. Glory to Jesus. You're listening to my voice right now, someone, and you're saying, you know what? I love Jesus, but I've struggled. I've gone away. God's calling you to himself. Maybe you just never heard of this paradigm. God's saying, let your heart bring you back out of the deepest recesses of your heart. Say, God, I want to come back to you. Give me grace to come back. And right now, I just give you myself. And Lord, give me grace to understand that I can go deeper. I can get stronger. And I can have a shout. And what took me away before is not going to take me away again. If you said that prayer, or you want Jesus now, say, God, I want you. I repent of my sins. Come into my life. I put away vanity, stupidity for you. The great exchange. If any of those, here's a number on the screen. Just call it and we'll help you with some material. And those of us here, time goes so quick. Can you stand with me if you would? Just stand with me. I tell you, you are good ground. You're good ground. And God wants to encourage us.